This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Maybe it's the books, maybe it's the books, maybe it's the real books, maybe it's the drugs, maybe it's the parents, maybe it's the colors everybody's wearing, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that, what he done, maybe it's the high schools, maybe it's the teachers, maybe it's the tattooed children in the bleachers, maybe it's the Bible, maybe it's the lack, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the crack, maybe it's the hairdos, maybe it's the TV, maybe it's the cigarettes, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the fast food, maybe it's the news, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's abuse, maybe it's the lawyers, maybe it's the prisons, maybe it's the senators, maybe it's the system, maybe it's the fathers, maybe it's the sons, maybe it's the sisters, maybe it's the moms, maybe it's the radio, maybe it's road rage, maybe El Nino, or UV rays, maybe it's the army, maybe it's the liquor, maybe it's the papers, maybe the militia, maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, maybe it's a fad, maybe it's the magazines, maybe it's the internet, maybe it's the lottery, maybe it's the immigrants, maybe it's taxes, big business, maybe it's the KKK and the skinheads, maybe it's the communists, maybe it's the Catholics, maybe it's the hippies, maybe it's the addicts, maybe it's the art, maybe it's the sex, maybe it's the homeless, maybe it's the banks, maybe it's the clear cut, maybe it's the ozone, maybe it's the chemicals, maybe it's the car phone, maybe it's the fertilizer, maybe it's the nose rings, maybe it's the end, but I know one thing, if it were up to me, I'd take away the guns, I'd take away.
That is Cheryl Wheeler live from 2015, a performance at the Birchmere, wherever that may be, on December 5th, 2015. I wanted you to know that Cheryl Wheeler is indeed a living, breathing singer-songwriter who, this is just one song in her awesome repertoire, and I figured we've heard the original from an album called Hotel Sylvia, or Sylvia Hotel, many times. I thought we'd do a live rendition today because she's still alive, thankfully, when so many kids aren't. You know, yesterday we're on the air. I'm on the air. And Digby's here. And we're talking about the gun problem, as people do because of what we're living through. And then I finished the show. And, you know, I did the broadcast last night, too. So I was, you know, I'm going full speed. I'm doing 20 things at once. But I go online to post the shows, and I see that there was not just one shooting in progress, not just two shootings in progress, but at least three shootings going on simultaneously. In Los Angeles, a kid was shot at a high school. In, I believe, Philadelphia, somebody was shot at a nail salon. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at a medical center, a man walked in with an AR-15, go figure, and another gun. And reportedly, we had heard he was looking for a particular doctor. Well, apparently he found that doctor. He had gone in for back surgery a few days earlier, and he thought this doctor wasn't responsive enough to his pain. And so what does he do? He gets a gun and goes in and murders him and three other people who happen to get in the way. Welcome to America. I would say I'm stunned, but this is what we've come to expect by now, right? Here's the other part of it that's just so frustrating. We've known about this. This has been happening for 20, 30 years or more. I'm talking about the frequency of it has been, you know, the shootings have been going on for way too long. You know, even 5 minutes is too long. But the frequency of the attacks is just unbelievable. Now, so almost 10 years ago, it was 9 years ago, almost exactly 9 years ago. It was September. Let me see if I can get the actual date. The date was September 18th, 2013. So we're coming up on 10 years in just over a year, right? 9 years it'll be in September. And there was yet another mass shooting. And I'm thinking, you know, nothing else has worked. What gets our politicians, our elected officials, to act on anything in this country? And we all know the answer to that. It's money. Money changes everything, to quote Cyndi Lauper. Money rules in this country, unfortunately, and all of these members of Congress, and I'm not differentiating in this case between Republicans and Democrats, because they're all ruled by the almighty dollar. And so 9 years ago, I got to thinking, what would make this country reverse course? What would make these elected officials actually do something? And I thought, you got to hit them in the pocketbook. And the United States is a tourist destination for travelers from around the world. People come here. They like to come here. Well, that should change because, frankly, nobody's safe. If you walk down Main Street, USA, I don't care if you're in the middle of Oklahoma, Tulsa, perhaps, or Miami, or Los Angeles, or New Orleans, or you name it, you are not safe. Going to a movie, you're not safe. Dropping your kid off at school, not safe. So why would someone from a country where guns are not common, why would they come here? There's plenty of other beautiful places on the planet to visit. In fact, you know what? Howie Klein's on the show today. Howie Klein is one of the most traveled people I know. And in fact, you should Google his Around the World blog. And I think that's what it's called, the Around the World blog. blogspot.com. Howie Klein's Around the World blog. He has traveled to virtually every corner of the planet. And I know I said that because there are flat earthers out there today. Who knew, right? So he could tell us lots of places for the well-heeled around the world to travel to instead of coming here. So what I did was, on September 18th, 2013, I wrote a post. Yeah, it's still up on my blog, even though my blog has changed, website's changed a few times since then. But let me share it with you. Here's what I wrote. The headline was Travel Advisory. The United States is not safe. And I found a graphic that I embedded in the post. The graphic is now gone because, you know, 10 years old. But it was from, I don't even know, it was from Mother Jones Magazine. And it showed the mass shooting / killing incidents since Barack Obama took office in 2009. And again, remember, this was 2013. And what had happened that day was a shooting at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. It marked the 20th time since Obama took office that there was a mass killing incident. Using data compiled by Mother Jones Magazine, whoever made this graphic, they created an animated map to show month by month what that toll looks like. Oh, I think it was from the Atlantic now that I think about it. Anyway, they write, according to that data, 174 people have lost their lives since January 2009 in such incidents. The incidents must meet several criteria. Four or more killed. It must have been a solitary shooter. The killings must have happened in a public place or series of places. So that was the excerpt from whatever source I pulled this graphic that doesn't exist anymore. But then I took over writing and I said, I've come to the realization that nothing will be done to stop the madness, the mass killings by crazed gunmen with weapons that serve no purpose other than to kill will continue unabated. After all, we've already witnessed the unthinkable. A congresswoman meeting with constituents outside of a grocery store shot in the head. She was lucky enough to survive, but six people who went there to meet her weren't. 20 6 and 7-year-old children slaughtered in their classroom, along with 6 adults who did everything possible to protect the children in their charge. And then, I point out on Monday, the crazy man with the guns killed 12 people. But they were just your everyday run-of-the-mill normal folk who ranged in age from 46 to 73. No, they weren't babies. And no, they weren't high-ranking elected officials. If our representatives in Washington weren't moved by 20 babies' bullet-ridden bodies or by one of their own ambushed, they certainly won't be motivated by the loss of another dozen or so mere citizens whose job it is, whose job they have to protect them. Obviously, the only thing that seems to matter to these politicians who are either against any sensible gun regulations, are afraid to cast the vote they know is needed, or simply haven't read the entire Second Amendment to the Constitution, which specifies a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The only thing that matters to them is money. Money. So I say that we take it to their pocketbooks. And then I wrote, although the murder of an Australian baseball player and college student, Christopher Lane, last month in Oklahoma by, quote, 3 bored teenagers, isn't on the map of mass killings because only one person was killed, it was enough to prompt Australia's then Deputy Prime Minister, Tim Fisher, to warn, quote, it is another example of murder mayhem on Main Street. People thinking of going to the USA for business or tourist trips should think carefully about it, given the statistical fact that you are 15 times more likely to be shot dead in the USA than in Australia per capita. So I wrote, well, that doesn't apply only to Australia. The Washington Post published a chart on the day after the Newtown massacre, which clearly shows that the United States is by far the gun-killing capital of the world. And hold on 1 second, because I think I can show you this graphic. 1 second, David, I'm in the middle of something. So here's this graphic. And you could see the list of countries. Hold on. Five people were shot.
Seen Wisconsin.
When?
Just now.
Oh my God. 5 people shot at a funeral in Racine, Wisconsin just now. I give up. I just fucking give up. So here's this chart from, again, 2012. This was right after the Newtown massacre. And it shows firearm homicides per 100,000 people. Is the vertical graph, and you see the United States all the way over to the right in the red, and it's up very high. The next country behind us is Chile, which is at about 2/3 of what we are, followed by at about 1/4 or less, Turkey, Switzerland, Belgium, Italy, Bulgaria. They're in a different ballpark entirely. This is insanity. Insanity. And now David tells us that 5 people shot at a funeral in Wisconsin? So this chart, the description that comes with the chart says the United States has by far the highest per capita rate of all developed countries. According to data compiled by the United Nations, the United States has 4 times as many gun-related homicides per capita as do Turkey and Switzerland, which are tied for 3rd. The U.S. gun murder rate is about 20 times the average for all other countries on this chart. That means that Americans are 20 times as likely to be killed by a gun than is someone from any other developed country. Lovely, huh? That information makes the case that the U.S. is simply not the best choice when citizens of other nations are planning their vacations. After all, why go somewhere where you're 20 times more likely to be killed by a crazy person with a gun than to a country where you're likely to be much safer? Yeah, that could hurt our pocketbooks. And so then I gave some statistics from the International Business Times about safety and tourism and travel, and then I finished by writing, hit 'em where it hurts. If politicians can just step over all the dead bodies in the road, Let's see how they react to the huge monetary losses their corporate benefactors will suffer. Once the U.S. Chamber of Commerce steps in, maybe they'll do something. Or maybe not. So I wrote that in 2013, and I've published it and updated it numerous times over the years. But very few people ever took notice. But today, I'm on Twitter. And where is she? Hold on. I got to give her credit because somebody's paying attention. And it is Butte Gal. I guess she lives in Butte, Montana. Butte Gal wrote, at Nicole Sandler, your idea in action. And she tagged me on a meme, I guess, a post, a release from Amnesty International. Great minds think alike. Amnesty International, travel advisory, United States of America. They got it. Listen to this. They wrote, the Amnesty International travel advisory for the country of the United States of America calls on people worldwide to exercise caution and have an emergency contingency plan when traveling throughout the USA. This travel advisory is being issued in light of ongoing high levels of gun violence in the country. You think? If you decide to travel to the United States, be extra vigilant at all times and be wary of the ubiquity of firearms among the population. Avoid places where large numbers of people gather, especially cultural events, places of worship, schools, and shopping malls. Exercise increased caution when visiting local bars, nightclubs, and casinos. Wow. It continues. Depending on the traveler's gender identity, race, country of origin, ethnic background, or sexual orientation, they may be at higher risk of being targeted with gun violence and should plan accordingly. Under international human rights law, the United States has an obligation to enact a range of measures at the federal, state, and local levels to regulate access to firearms and to protect the rights of people to live and move about freely without the threat of gun violence. The government has not taken sufficient steps to meet this obligation. Amnesty fucking International. That deserves a huge round of applause. That is how you do things. So the next step would be for civilized nations around the world to issue their own travel advisories to their people. People of the world, don't come here. It's not that I don't want to see you, but I'd rather you stay alive. And we cannot guarantee your safety in this country. Because when you step out on the street, you take your life in your hands. Or more accurately, in the hands of any moron walking around with an AR-15, because they're easier to get than a pack of cigarettes. If you're 18 years old, I'm glad that somebody else finally had the same idea that I did all those years ago. But wow, will I please put that on my Facebook page so I can share it? I absolutely will. I'll post it on my blog where I post today's show. I'll put that on my Facebook page. I'll tweet it out. I did tweet it out already, but I will. Everybody needs to know this. And now, you see, back in 2013, I guess when I wrote that piece, I actually reached out to Tim Fischer, who was at the time the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia. The one who did issue a travel advisory to his nation and said, don't go to the United States, it's not safe. And I did an interview with him because he was in power, he was in parliament, when they had a mass shooting back in the early 90s at a school. And it resulted in a ban on assault weapons and I believe all guns, frankly. Justin Trudeau just did it in Canada. Why can't we do it here? I just don't get it. I do get it. I get it because the Republican Party has no conscience. They know no shame. All they care about is power and money. And after all, maybe they're synonymous. They go together. So I do want to share with you, there was some very, interesting testimony today in the House Judiciary Committee where they had a hearing on gun violence. I told you there is a package. I think it's called the Protect Our Children Act that the Democrats have introduced. It's eight bills, eight gun regulating bills. Among them is not an assault weapons ban. You know why? Because they don't even have enough votes on the Democratic side to pass it. When they should, if all the Democrats voted for it, it would pass the House because the Democrats have a majority, slim as it may be. But they don't have enough to get it through the Democrats in the House. I know. I'm in shock and disbelief as well. Well, maybe not shock, just disbelief and disgust. But, there are moments that you have to stand up and say, hell yeah. And I know Eric Swalwell is not the most progressive member of the House of Representatives. He's not even a member of the Progressive Caucus. But I like him a lot. And he stood up today. This is not his whole 5 minutes, but it's a good amount of it because he went off on Jim Jordan and a number of other people who deserved to be gone off on.
Who are you here for, the kids or the killers? My Republican colleagues are here for carnival games. They say it's about mental health. Okay, we try and fund mental health, they vote against it. They say it's about schools. We try and fund the schools, fund the teachers. They vote against it. They say it's about policing. $300 million in the American Rescue Plan for community policing. They all voted against it. And they don't want to listen to the police. If they listened to the police, they'd listen to the major cities' chiefs who have called for background checks, red flag laws, banning bump stocks, and banning high-capacity magazines. My favorite, it's about the family.
Yeah.
We need to address the family issues in America. Yeah. But we don't want to help feed a family. We're going to make it harder for kids to live on food stamps. We don't want to help a family learn. We're going to go after teachers in America. We don't want to help kids go to college. We don't want to give them jobs. We're going to vote against the infrastructure and jobs bill.
No.
And then they say that laws don't work. But they have no problem crafting laws to take away a woman's right to make her own healthcare decision. That Hell. Law must work.
Yep.
They have no problem going after laws to ban drugs. There's plenty of laws on the books to ban drugs, but no, it's all about the person. Laws don't work when you have evil in our country. That's what they tell us. And then they tell us that we're in a country where you have violent video games, mental health problems, schools that can't be secured, and too many gun-free zones. And their solution to that is to put more of the most dangerous weapons into that mix.
Right?
That's insane.
You think?
They're also out of touch with the overwhelming majority of gun owners in America.
Yep.
An organization called 97% just put out a poll that said among gun owners, and they only polled gun owners, 86% support background checks, 76% support safe storage, 67% support red flag laws. Those are gun owners. So who are you here for? Our kids or the killers?
Good question.
I'm here for people like Alex Navarro. She's a Moms Demand Action leader in the San Francisco Bay Area. And last week, after I convened a meeting among my constituents and people like Fred Guttenberg and Dr. Joe Sacrin, an emergency room physician at Johns Hopkins, Alex Navarro told my constituents that her six-year-old daughter, after Uvalde, after seeing the images behind
me, listen to this,
said to her, "Mom, what picture are you going to use for me?"
Oh, my God.
What picture are you going to use for me? That's what children are asking their parents across America because they don't believe they're going to come out alive. Mm. What picture are you going to use for me? We're supposed to be the protectors. We're supposed to be here for the kids. And so to my colleagues today who flew in town, came to work, got ready to argue, my question is, why did you come here for at all?
Good question.
Why did you come here at all?
Why?
If you're not here for the children, why don't you go to the funeral of the killer? Because that's the only place where the killer is being celebrated. We're here to get things done and protect our kids. What's your job? I yield back.
Oh, my God. Wait, David, don't go away. Oh, my God. So David just walked in here. He's out there monitoring what's going on in the world. And I don't even know what to say, what you just told me.
It's on Raw Story. There's a barricaded shooter in Alvin, Texas, and they're saying it's a massive police operation right now.
Oh, my God.
And then on CNN, there's a report that a 16-year-old high school student turned himself in who was recruiting other children his own age to put on a school shooting.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, so I just pulled up Raw Story. Authorities in Texas have a barricade suspect situation after a man walked into the Alvin Police Department lobby at 8:50 a.m. with a gunshot wound. Captain Tim Hubbard said the situation is ongoing and there were no other known victims. KHOU-TV describes the response as a massive police operation. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with this country? And in fact, you know what? Let me see if I can't find. I played the Eric Swalwell piece. Well, Louis Gohmert, you know, the man who doesn't want you to cast aspersions on his asparagus. Yeah, that brain surgeon. He had a response, and let me see if I can't just pull this up. Not that we really need to hear from Louis Gohmert, but, you know, I guess may as well. What is it, Louis?
On the other side of the aisle, come in and accuse Republicans of being complicit in murder.
You are!
And that we put our right to kill over others' right to live.
You do!
To infer by rhetorical supposed questions, who are you here for?
Yeah.
We must be here for the gunman is an outrage.
You're an outrage.
How dare you?
How dare you? You know what? Hey, Louis Gohmert.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up.
I mean it. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
I'm speechless. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's a good thing I don't leave the house because of the COVID. But really? I'm just stunned. Okay,
for the murder.
Oh, wrong line. Hi, who's someone calling from the 623 area code? Got to turn down the radio. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, that's you. You're on the air. What's up? Who is this? I'm good. Okay. Well, see, he doesn't get that there's a little bit of a delay, so he was listening to the radio, and now he's going to hear me going hello. Oh, now he's calling back. I don't really have time for this, but we'll try it one more time. Hello, we'll try it one more time. Are you there?
Hi, Nicole.
Yes, who's this?
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Who is this?
This is Bill from Phoenix.
Bill from Phoenix. Okay, hi, Bill.
What's the matter with us? It's simple. Chaos has become the new cocaine.
The new cocaine? You think this is about wanting, like, to get off, to get high? I don't think so.
You know, I think they've got beyond the substances and into the ideology. It's so invested and indoctrinated, yeah. You know, we're mentally ill. We've gone insane. America's gone crazy.
Well, that is definitely true. Can I tell you, all of a sudden today, I started getting spam email from an online gun store. So I actually called them. thanks for the call. I got to run because I got to get Howie Klein on the line. I wasn't going to play this today, but this is how angry I was. So I get this. I probably still shouldn't play this, but you'll hear the frustration because I didn't sign up for any. I never went to their website. But here's what happened when they finally picked up the phone. I was on hold. And they
wonder if there was a different phone number on this.
Here. Oh, nope. Okay, still on hold. On. Oh, here we go. Here's where they pick it up after 7 minutes.
Victoria speaking.
Hi. I'm wondering, I've gotten a number of emails from you today, and I never, ever went to your website or signed up for any of these emails. How do you think that could have happened?
I'm not sure, ma'am. The only way to get signed up is on our website.
Well, somehow,
I can just unsubscribe you.
Somehow, you're spamming me with these obscene gun ads, and I really don't appreciate it. What is wrong with you fucking people?
Ma'am, if you speak that way to me, I'm going
you.
To hang up on you.
You murder! You enable people to murder children in their classroom! What is wrong with you people? And now you're invading my home by spamming me with email?
Okay, so she hung up. and that's just, you know what? It's just how I was feeling. So perhaps she was the wrong person to yell at, but sorry, they spammed me. At least twice. And who's ever calling me, stop calling me during the show. God, I got to turn off my phone. Okay. Well, you know what time it is. I guess we got to get Howie on the line. He's saving me because it is that time of the day. All right. So whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies? Because I need a triple today.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hi, Howie Klein.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Bonjour. You know, I resurrected an old post of mine because of our gun epidemic in this country. I don't know if you remember, but it was 9 years ago that I first came up with the idea that if these politicians won't do anything to stop the gun madness, then the only way to get through to them is by hitting them in the pocketbook. And I suggested back then that some other nations or somebody enact a travel advisory, warn world travelers not to come here because they're not safe. And sure enough, guess who did it today? Amnesty International.
Oh, how nice.
Isn't that great? I've only been screaming about it for 9 years, but at least they did it. And they put out a really stark warning. And I think it's awesome because people should not come here. If you live in another country, don't come here. You're not safe. Spend your dollars in other countries where they don't have, where they have gun laws to protect you. And Howie, I said, you are one of the most traveled people I know. In fact, I promoted your Around the World blog and said you can probably suggest a plethora of other places where people can go where they'll be safe that's not the United States.
Anywhere.
That's easy. Anywhere.
I mean, literally, Roland and I were walking around the Sahara Desert and sat down with Tuareg rebels. And we felt safer than we would be in Alabama or Texas.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. You know, we're talking about moving. We are thinking about moving to get the hell out of Florida, for a number of reasons. And one thing David said to me is, you know, if we're going to be driving across the country, I think I need to get a gun for protection. If we're going to drive through Mississippi and Alabama and Texas, you know, so that opens a whole other can of worms. Do we get a gun to protect ourselves, or are we just at the mercy of the crazies out there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What kind of a gun would you get?
I have no idea.
A handgun or?
Well,
or
I wouldn't get anything. No, probably a handgun. And David, you know what? He's a marksman. He's taken shooting lessons. He knows how to handle a gun. So I feel a little better about that. I don't want to go near it. I've never fired a gun except in camp when I was a kid and we did riflery, but that doesn't count.
Right. Okay. Well, I have also taken shooting lessons and used to very much enjoy going and, you know, getting rid of my stress at a shooting range. So, and I have thought about getting a gun, but I still may, but I haven't.
Okay. David just walked in here. David, Howie.
If I were to get a gun, I would probably get a Tech 9 or possibly an Uzi.
Oh, what? They sell those?
Yeah.
And it's probably less lethal than an AR-15 now.
Well, it all depends on the round that you use.
I don't want to hear any of this. I really hate this. But I hate here. I hate what's going on in this country.
I just tweeted out, I went to Costco today. Didn't get shot. You would be surprised at the response.
Oh, I'm sure. It's an accomplishment. Hey, if we make it through the end of the day without getting shot, time for a party, I suppose.
Look, I'm the one who goes out to, you know, buy groceries and things like that. I'm not comfortable. You know, for the previous 2 years plus, it's been mostly COVID. But, you know, I can protect myself with a vaccination or a mask to COVID. What's the vaccination for a bullet?
There isn't one. Yeah.
Not voting for Ron DeSantis?
I don't know how anyone would vote for that man. I don't understand it. He is...
That's how disconnected we are.
Yeah.
With I mean, you know, he's going to probably win in a walk.
Hey, Howie.
Yo.
Have you bought your page of Nancy Reagan commemorative stamps today?
Did you hear about this? No. Oh, no, okay. So check this out. This is my other.
I didn't know she was dead.
I think she is dead. She is dead. But this isn't about that. This is even more... I don't know what the word is. Insane, perhaps, or more, just Orwellian, or it makes no sense. But I got to find it first. Oh, damn it. I lost it. So basically what it is that, Jill Biden is hosting an event at the White House to honor Nancy Reagan. Let me finish because there's a U.S. Postal Service is issuing a Nancy Reagan stamp. So at this event at the White House that Jill Biden is throwing to honor Nancy Reagan, who, by the way, was the wife, and this is LGBT Pride Month, right? Her husband was the guy who ignored AIDS for how long? Just saying, right? And a guest of honor at this event at the White House honoring Nancy Reagan will be Louis DeJoy.
Who?
Louis DeJoy, the Postmaster General who's trying to sabotage the Postal Service, who Joe Biden should have kicked out of there by now. The whole world is going mad.
Yes. Well, I mean, I hope that you didn't expect much more from Joe Biden than what we're getting.
Yeah. Well, I tried. You know, I didn't. You know how I thought about what I thought about his candidacy. And when he got into office, I'm like, I'm going to give him a chance. He started off. He was talking to Bernie. He was taking Bernie's ideas. He was trying to do and say the right things. And now here we are. No Medicare for all. No public option. No more COVID relief, no student loan relief, no $15 an hour minimum wage. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on.
The age of Medicare.
Right. None of that.
That was his big idea that, you know, that was the one that it would be easy for him to do.
Yep. No build back better. No building back. Well, there is that. The BIF. We were supposed to have the other part of the infrastructure plan, the human infrastructure, which he promised we were going to get done. And
yep. And then lied to Pramila, telling her that he could guarantee that if she got her caucus to back the transportation bill, that he would guarantee that the other part would be supported as well.
Yep. And guess what?
Back there.
And now he's like saying, well, I didn't know about the shortage of baby formula until April. And now we learn he's going to Saudi Arabia. The man who said he was going to make MBS pay for the murder of Khashoggi, he's going there to meet with this cretin. I'm beyond pissed today because there are more shootings going on as we speak. Three yesterday wasn't enough. Oh, three we knew of. I'm just it's insane. What are you rattling with, Howie? What is that?
Graves.
Oh, okay. So, sorry, you know, I'm just beyond. And so here we are in the middle of primary season, and it seems that this, what now? The GOP epiphany is right around the corner. Oh, sure it is. Okay. What? Yeah, we've heard that before.
What? They're having an epiphany?
No, David just handed me a note, said the Republican Party epiphany is right around the corner. I guess we've been told that for a long time now, so we're supposed to believe
Biden.
Biden.
Didn't he say that?
He probably did, yeah, because he still thinks. Didn't he? The other day he said that Mitch McConnell was reasonable.
Yes.
I guess he is losing in
Especially
a little
on
bit.
Guns.
On guns, right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. So here we are. And Howie, you're still fighting the good fight. I give you so much credit because there are days I just want to throw up my hands and crawl in a hole and say, you know, where in the world can I go? Australia's looking pretty good right now. They just dumped their right wing prime minister in favor of the more reasonable one.
Yes, it's one that's sort of like Biden.
what's the world coming to? I thought things were coming in our direction, and now I guess we elected a black president, and that threw everything off the space-time continuum.
Yeah, well, that was our big moment. Now they get their moments. I guess Trump was their moment.
Yes,
so
Trump was their moment.
I just got off the phone before you called with someone who's running against a kind of a mainstream conservative Republican who's in office.
Okay.
A woman named Young Kim the LA area.
Right. And she's a Republican too, though. Yes.
He is a far right Republican.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times when I write about these people, I try to get in touch with them. And, you know, I usually can get in touch with Democrats and they'll talk to me, but usually Republicans won't. This guy did, and we had a very pleasant conversation. He was very frank with me and you know, answered my questions. He said a couple of things were off the record, but he answered every question, and most of them on the record.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I had already published the post by the time he called me, but I did do one small update. It would have been a completely different post had I spoken with him earlier. But it was interesting. You know, I don't talk to a lot of Republicans. I talk to some. But, you know, he told me flat out, you know, that he had no intention of voting for McCarthy because he thinks there's a much better candidate for Speaker and who he plans to vote for, and that is Jim Jordan.
God. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you trade one for another. There's, frankly, not a whole lot of difference between the two. They're both reprehensible.
Well, Jordan is kind of worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is the person you were talking to likes Jordan over McCarthy. But
yes.
You think he'd be a better candidate than the other guy?
Well, the other one, Young Kim, is a woman.
Okay.
And I think he would be better because if there was any chance for a Democrat to win that race, it would be against a crackpot, Trumper. Rather than, I mean, she voted to censure Trump.
Okay.
So she didn't vote for impeachment, but she did vote to censure Trump. She also voted to kick Marjorie Taylor Greene off her committee.
Okay.
So, you know, so that's something. But she's not going to be defeated by a Democrat, especially not in this particular election cycle. And the district which was, you know, a leaning Democratic district. She won because the Democrats had a horrible candidate, an incumbent. The Democratic incumbent we've talked about in the past, I believe, it was Gil Cisneros.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
him?
Sure.
Yeah. A billionaire who bought, well, not a billionaire, but a multimillionaire who bought the seat with the help of Nancy Pelosi, who likes very, very rich people, I'm sure you've noticed.
Yes.
So, and he couldn't hold the seat. He was one of the worst Democrats in the House. He campaigned as though he were a Bernie person, which was idiotic because it was obvious he wasn't. But he did campaign as a, you know, pro-Bernie kind of Democrat. And then once he got in, he immediately joined the New Dems and never voted for anything that Bernie would ever support, or wow. just was just a corporate whore. And then she beat him. So she beat him by a few points. It was fairly close. But the same day that she beat him, Biden beat Trump in that same district by 10 points. That's how bad Cisneros was. People
wow.
split their tickets because he was so awful and elected a Republican. So, and this Republican, you know, she's a mainstream conservative. She's not, you know, I wouldn't call her a moderate. I would call her a mainstream conservative. And now the guy who's running against, there are two guys running against her from the right. One of them, the guy I spoke to, who is absolutely positive he's going to win on Tuesday, and, you know, told me the reasons why, and it made sense.
And that's Rathes? Is that the guy named Rathes?
Yes,
okay.
That's his name, is Eric Rathes.
Okay.
And then the other guy is just a Nazi. He's running, you know, they don't call it Nazi, they call it white nationalist. He's running as an open white nationalist. He thinks only Christians should be able to hold office and, you know, should make all decisions. And he thinks that all immigration, including legal immigration, should be halted for 25 years. And, you know, he thinks, I mean, so just imagine this guy and everything you could think of, that's who he is. So they're both running running for this seat. But Rathes has a chance to win. I think that the Democrat, who's a very unlikely winner, the only chance he would have is if Rathes winds up winning. I think he'd have a chance to beat him because Trump is not popular in this district.
Right. Now you have the jungle primary thing there. So you've got all these Republican candidates. Are they all thrown in the mix with the Democrats in the top?
Yeah, there's only the one Democrat running, and then there's three Republicans running. So there's no doubt that the Democrat will be in the runoff, which is called the general election.
Right.
So he'll be in it, but so the question is, which Republican will he wind up running against? And the thought was that it was going to easily be the incumbent, Young Kim.
Uh-huh.
But now. The Republicans are so scared that Rathes is going to win. I mean, they realize that he's doing well in the polling and that let me go back a second. So the new district, this district that they're running in, is California 40. California 40 includes 20% of Young Kim's old district, which was California 39. 80% was mostly in what was then but is no longer Katie Porter's old district.
Oh.
Rathes ran against Katie Porter and did very well. He feels he's better known than Young Kim in this district. In other words, only 20% of the people were represented by Young Kim, and he ran among the 80% and did very well, and certainly and won the Republican primary. So anyway, that's why he thinks he's going to win it. But my point is that even in that Republican parts of the district, they still don't like Trump.
Wow. Okay, good. Well,
So at least the Democrat would have like a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm.
If he runs against Young Kim, I don't know that he'll have any chance. But in any case, the Republicans are so scared that McCarthy is spending over $1 million himself to try to defeat Rathes.
Wow.
So in other words, Republicans who donated to McCarthy's PAC thought they're donating against Democrats, and here he is spending all his money against the Republican, Rathes, and that's because Rathes told me on the phone,
right.
which I didn't see in any of the news coverage, was that he announced publicly quite some time ago that he was going to vote for Jim Jordan as speaker, wow. Not for McCarthy.
McCarthy has it in for him because he wants to be speaker more than anything else in the world.
Right, but he's spending Republican donor money against the Republican, which has nothing to do with them. It has to do with him.
Right. Now, let me play devil's advocate here for a moment, Howie Klein, because also on Down with Tyranny, there's a post. The headline reads, "Conservative sewer money floods into Long Beach and SELA, S-E-L-A, on behalf of Robert Garcia."
SELA is Southeast L.A.
Oh, okay, got it. Southeast L.A., got it. And so you're talking about, in this case, AIPAC and other so-called Democratic organizations are spending millions of dollars smearing Jessica Cisneros against Henry, right? And spending money.
Christina Garcia.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm all screwed up here. But this is a sort of the Democratic equivalent of that, isn't it? I mean, Democrats are doing this, targeting.
Yes. Well, it's more than that, but it's very much the same in some ways, because the person who I've heard over and over again, who is sort of coordinating all of this, and I'll explain what they're coordinating, is the guy who wants to be the next Democratic speaker, or since it won't be a Democratic speaker, the next Democratic leader, and that's Hakeem Jeffries, a Wall Street whore from New York City.
Who, by the way, is a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He's not a member of the New Dems. He's not a member of the Blue Dogs, but he sits on the Progressive Caucus. Why? To infiltrate
really
the enemy?
Sit on it. He's a member in theory, but he doesn't participate. He has nothing to do with it. He's
right. Pays the dues.
Even they know he's not really a progressive.
Wow.
Although, interestingly enough, Mark Pocan, who's the head of your friend, Mark Pocan, who's the head of their PAC, the Progressive Caucus PAC, is the one who's trying to deliver progressives to Jeffries.
No.
So he's out
there
hustling votes for Jeffries.
Oh, God. Well, that's not acceptable. Okay, so,
right.
But, you know, I read that piece, and you told me that you believe Hakeem Jeffries is helping to pull the strings on this campaign against the progressives, but you don't have that in the piece anywhere.
Yes, sir. It's the end.
Oh, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
The point that I was trying to make is that, you know, it's mostly about AIPAC and Democratic Majority for Israel, which is kind of not really connected, but the person who runs Democratic Majority for Israel consults AIPAC. So he sort of runs those two. But with the pattern that I've seen everywhere is that when one gets in, to a race, when AIPAC and Democratic Majority for Israel, when that segment gets into a race, it's quickly followed by the cryptocurrency guys. They jump in. And what I've realized and what I've been told by other members of Congress who don't appreciate it is that the person who's sort of organizing the whole thing and directing all of the money from behind the curtain is Hakeem Jeffries. So the way I'm hoping to get somebody to go on record is because he's now started doing that against incumbents. And that, at least in theory, I don't know that Nancy's going to put up with. So I have, you know, some people reaching out to her to talk to her about it and to see what she thinks about that.
Are you
because
saying
she
that
apparently
he's back?
Has given the green light to Jeffries to do this with challengers, just not with incumbents.
Incumbents.
But now this little consortium of so-called Democrats who are taking Republican money. Remember, all AIPAC's money is Republican. They claim to be a bipartisan group, but all their big donors are Republicans. They're putting all that money into Democratic primaries. They haven't gone into one Republican primary, not one. Every single primary and millions of dollars has been against progressives in Democratic primaries and in favor of conservatives.
Wow.
Including the one I wrote about.
Right.
Robert Garcia, the one who's running against Christina Garcia. She's a progressive. He is a Republican who's pretending to be a Democrat. He's an actual Republican. He worked for George Bush. He started two Republican clubs in Long Beach. So he, and you know, when he wanted to go for higher office, he was on the city council as a Republican. When he wanted to go for higher office, he changed the R to a D. So
oh
in theory,
God.
He's a Democrat, but he's not. He's a conservative
right?
Republican with a D next to his name.
Wow.
And AIPAC loves him. He's their guy. And AIPAC and Democratic Majority for Israel and the crypto guys are all putting millions and millions and millions of dollars into a campaign against Christina Garcia, slamming her, slandering her. People are getting 2 and 3 mailers in their mailbox every single day. And, of course, that turns people against Robert Garcia as well.
Right.
They realize what's happening with this kind of big money.
Well, the good news, I guess, is that the California primary is Tuesday, so it will end at least there. But this nonsense, again, Citizens United opened the door for all of this. All this dark money, the people, the groups can spend whatever they want. They don't have to disclose who they are and who they're giving it to and who's giving it. It's just all wrong. And until we get that kind of money, and frankly, all money out of politics, we're screwed. And there's no indication we're moving in that direction at all. We're going in the opposite direction.
Not quite. We're going in the opposite direction.
Right, right. So this coming Tuesday is not only California. It's Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. Aside from California, are there any races we're really interested in?
Yeah, there's a new congressional district in Montana. They had one for the whole state. They grew in population enough to split the state in two, and now they have two districts.
Wow.
So it's an open district, and it leans Republican, but not heavily.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, in theory, a Democrat can win. There are, I think, there were a whole bunch of conservative Democrats who were running. Most of them dropped out now. I think there were just two left and one progressive Democrat named Tom Winters. So Tom is a great guy who ran he was a state legislator. He ran for the state legislature in a Republican district very much like and part of this new congressional district, and he won a couple of times. So he ran as Trump was winning the district, he won. Tom won. People like him. He's a progressive. He's a straight talker, and he's a very likable guy. And he's running for Congress now, so there's a chance on Tuesday that he'll get the nomination.
Okay.
It'll be an uphill battle, but the Republican who's going to get the nomination from their party is Ryan Zinke. You remember him?
Yeah, he was the interior.
Very corrupt.
Very corrupt interior secretary under the former guy.
Exactly. So I think that if Tom wins the Democratic nomination, he'll be able to make a very good case against Zinke. Even though it's a Republican-leaning district, I think he'll have a chance.
Okay. All right.
So that's one race that I'm watching. You know, there are a couple of decent people running in New Jersey. I don't think any of them have a chance. There's nothing going on in South Dakota. Everything is status quo in New Mexico. What were the other states you said?
New Mexico, South Dakota, Mississippi, Montana, Iowa.
Oh, Iowa, yes. Yeah. Iowa has some good races. There's one for the U.S. Senate to determine which Democrat will go up against Chuck Grassley, if Chuck Grassley lives
right, but he's running again, even though he's, what, 88 or something?
Yeah, he's the second oldest member of the Senate after Dianne
Feinstein.
Which reminds me, I hope we have time.
Yeah.
There's good races in Iowa. Glenn Hurst is a medical doctor and the head of the Democratic Party Rural Caucus, and he is running. He's the best candidate running. There's also some bad ones running. But when I said Dianne Feinstein, it clicked in my head that you probably read this already, at least part of it, that Sheryl Sandberg is leaving Facebook.
Yes.
She's number two.
Yeah.
And there's a strong rumor going around that she is going to run for Dianne Feinstein's seat.
Oh, God, because that's just what we need, another
we
rich
need another
white woman.
Self-funding billionaire to
right.
run.
Right. Unbelievable. Hey, California, no on Sheryl Sandberg. Tell her to lean back. Go home. We don't need another billionaire in Congress.
Who thinks that, you know, the height of great candidates was Hillary Clinton and Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah. You know, there are some great candidates, and I haven't mentioned this yet. I saw it yesterday, but the Kentucky primaries are over. It is Charles Booker running against Rand Paul, and Charles Booker has an ad up. Oh, boy, does he have an ad up. You've seen this, right?
Uh-huh.
Let me play it because some of the listeners may not have seen it. It's, well, it's pretty graphic. And just so you know, for those of you listening to an audio stream and not seeing the video, he puts a noose around his neck. That's what happens here.
There's the noose. To persist to this
tribal lynching.
Yes, here it is.
In Kentucky, like many states throughout the South, lynching was a tool of terror. It was used to kill hopes for freedom. It was used to kill my ancestors. Now, in a historic victory for our Commonwealth, I have become the first Black Kentuckian to receive the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. My opponent, the very person who compared expanded health care to slavery, the person who said he would have opposed the Civil Rights Act, the person who single-handedly blocked an anti-lynching act from being federal law. The choice couldn't be clearer. Do we move forward together, or do we let politicians like Rand Paul forever hold us back and drive us apart? In November, we will choose healing. We will choose Kentucky.
Powerful. Powerful ad, Charles Booker for U.S. Senate. Wow.
Talking about that ad, it's really, really strong.
Really strong. So I wanted to get that on before another day went by. Howie Klein, I'm sorry?
I was just going to say a really, really uphill race, like really, really uphill.
And that's
a shame.
I mean,
even if there was no red wave forming, which there is, it would still be a very, very, very difficult race.
Now, do you think if he had been the nominee against Mitch McConnell last time instead of Amy McGrath, that it would have been different?
No.
No.
I mean, it would have been different. It would have been a different kind of race.
Right.
But I think that's not what you meant. You meant with the result.
A different outcome. Yes.
I doubt it.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. But, it's Kentucky we're talking about. all right, Howie Klein, with that, I will let you go. We'll talk next week. Thank you, as always.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, find Howie Klein, of course, at downwithtyranny.com. And when you're there, put in blue-america-pack at the end of downwithtyranny.com, and it'll bring you to the Blue America page where you can pull up all different lists of candidates candidates that Blue America has endorsed, which means that they are progressive because Howie does the vetting. So you know you can trust that. All right. Tomorrow we will end the week with hopefully there are no more shootings today. And frankly, if there are, I'll probably have a few words to say at the beginning of the show about it because you know I can't help myself, but we're going to veer off into a different world. Yes, there's a new film out. It is streaming on, it's on Amazon Prime, it's on YouTube, it's a bunch of places. It's called A Tear in the Sky. Tomorrow, we're talking UFOs. And because I told you I would do this, I went back into my archives and found an interview that I did with Shirley MacLaine. I believe it was around 2007. But she had a book out. And in it, she recounted an experience of seeing a UFO along with her pal, Dennis Kucinich, who had just been in a presidential debate because he ran in the primary for 2008. And at this debate, which was moderated back then by the late Tim Russert, he asked Dennis Kucinich about the UFO story from Shirley MacLaine's book. So I had to ask her about it. So we'll go back. We'll listen to the Shirley MacLaine interview as well. All right. So tomorrow we got Shirley MacLaine and we have the director, producer, writer, and one of the UFO researchers from the new film, A Tear in the Sky. And I'm telling you, aliens, I know you're there. Come and take me away, please, because I got to get away from these guns. And Florida. So you got a willing passenger here. I'll go. Just saying. All right. So until tomorrow, we're going to go into What did Art Bell call his show? Well, that territory. Okay. All right. So until then, thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, by the way, while you're still here, we're already done with Progressive Voices, so I can go a little longer. No, don't miss tomorrow's sky. The tear in the sky is bizarre. You got to see the movie. Yes, Art Bell territory tomorrow. So I've got a couple of pieces up behind me that I will show. I'll show the people who are watching the video while the news is playing. All right, so I'll leave you with the news. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As President Biden was departing from the town of Uvalde, Texas last week, after visiting with families of the victims of the mass murder of 21 people at an elementary school there, cries of "Do something" were heard shouted out. The sad thing is that without Congress, there's nothing a president can do. So it's up to us. You and me. Want to pass some common sense gun regulations? And while we're at it, bring back the assault rifle ban? Then all we need to do is show up in the biggest numbers ever to vote in November. The only way to get Congress to do something about guns is to vote just about every Republican out of office. We have no time to spare. As families in that town in Texas were making funeral arrangements Wednesday afternoon, at least three other shootings were happening in three different states simultaneously. A student was shot at a Los Angeles high school, a woman targeted at a nail salon in Pennsylvania, and five people were killed at a medical center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In Tulsa, a gunman entered this medical center reportedly looking for one particular doctor, but obviously opting to just start shooting randomly inside a building used for outpatient surgery and a breast health center. Every day, more than 110 people in the United States are killed with guns, and more than 200 Americans are wounded. The mass shooting before the one in Uvalde happened just days earlier in Buffalo, New York, where a self-avowed white supremacist opened fire inside a grocery store, murdering 10 people and injuring many more. Well, a grand jury on Wednesday indicted the shooter, charging him with first-degree domestic terrorism motivated by hate. He also faces 10 counts of first-degree murder, 10 counts of second-degree murder as a hate crime, 3 counts of attempted second-degree murder as a hate crime, and a weapons possession charge. The murderer, whose name I will not repeat, allegedly scouted out the market in a predominantly black neighborhood so he could kill as many black people as possible. He faces an automatic life sentence on the terrorism charge alone if convicted. We need more of that. A California task force released an exhaustive report about the state's role in perpetuating discrimination against African Americans. The 500-page document lays out the harms suffered by descendants of enslaved people long after slavery was abolished in the 19th century. The task force said the state should pay reparations, and it plans to release a reparations plan in 2023. The report described harm Black Americans have endured due to discriminatory laws and systemic bias in housing, education, employment practices, and the legal system. And you know what they say, as goes California, stay tuned. So you remember John Hinckley Jr.? Does that name ring a bell? He's the man who shot then-President Ronald Reagan and three others 41 years ago. Well, a federal judge on Wednesday said that Hinckley no longer poses any threat and will be released from all restrictions on June 15th. Defense lawyers and prosecutors agreed at a hearing on Wednesday that Hinckley had successfully completed a 9-month observation period that the judge required in a written release order that he issued in September. The judge said Wednesday that Hinckley has been, quote, the most scrutinized person in the U.S. mental health system and should be ready to get on with his life after living under a microscope for 4 decades, adding, I'm confident Mr. Hinckley will do well in the years remaining to him. Okay, but attempted murder of a president? And his bullet was responsible for James Brady's paralysis and death years later? Really? Well, hundreds of thousands of students are getting
relief from student loan debt. Really? Well, it's the students who attended the for-profit Corinthian colleges. So you know how President Biden has been sort of stalled on the idea of forgiving student loan debt? Well, hundreds of thousands of students who attended the for-profit Corinthian colleges chain, which went under in 2015, will have their federal student loans canceled. The company falsified data about the success of its graduation, luring students with promises of employment. So they're wiping out $5.8 billion in debt. It's the largest single loan discharge in Education Department history and will impact more than 500,000 borrowers. As for everyone else waiting to hear word on their student loans, well, apparently you're going to have to keep waiting. So are you still working remotely? COVID really opened the door to remote working. But Elon Musk is tired of it. And so he sent out an email to all Tesla employees that basically said, come back to the office for at least 40 hours a week or leave. Really. He added that this time commitment is less than what's expected of factory workers. He also said he'd directly review, quote, exceptional contributors that might prevent workers from showing up in person. Really? Meanwhile, other major tech firms are allowing remote work year-round. Go figure. So what are our elected representatives going to do about it? Although the House is on recess this week, the House Judiciary Committee is meeting. In fact, we'll mark up a package of 8 gun-related bills Thursday under the heading of the Save Our Children Act. The one thing that's not included in this package is an assault weapons ban. There is one ready to go. More than 200 House Democrats have even co-sponsored this assault weapons ban, introduced by Congressman David Cicilline of Rhode Island. The decision to proceed with today's markup without the assault weapons ban was actually made before yesterday's shooting, where a gunman killed at least 4 people at a medical center in Tulsa. So yesterday on What's News, I ran through the 8 provisions that will be included in this big package. And yet, quietly, Democratic aides are saying that none of these bills will get signed into law, that they're just meant to put pressure on the Senate, who can't even pass background checks. So what's happening with the Senate? Well, they're out for 2 weeks. But there is a bipartisan group of senators allegedly working on this. In fact, they met virtually Wednesday afternoon. The group includes Senators Chris Murphy, Pat Toomey, Richard Blumenthal, Susan Collins, Joe Manchin and Tom Tillis, John Cornyn, and Kyrsten Sinema. This meeting was to help gauge whether or not the group can eventually gain a consensus on legislation that revolves around mental health, red flag laws, and background checks. Democrats want to get something done, but they want it to be meaningful enough to have some impact. The concern is the Republicans will pass something just to say they did something, but it won't actually do anything. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.